We Got This radio series on Voice of Barbados 92.9 FM focuses on parenting styles in social work. And today, we'll have our mothers in social work to be followed in June, where we'll be looking at our fathers. We Got This. As we say, a special good evening to Joyanne Joseph, Kim Bob Waith, and Kerry Ann Hurley. Good evening. How are you doing?
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Hi there, everybody. Can you hear me loud and clear?
Yes, I can. I can hear you.
Hi, good evening. Hope everybody's good this evening. We're talking about social workers and mothers in social work today. On Sunday, the 19th of May, and I have a whole panel of ladies. Good evening, ladies. Tell us all about social work of our mothers in today's program. And let me just say, we do have with us, you can introduce yourself, but we have Kerry Ann Hurley, Linda Walters, Kim Bob Waith, and Joyanne Joseph. Good evening once again.
Good evening to you. Thank you for having me.
Hi, good evening, ma'am.
Good evening again. My name is Kim Bob Waith. I'm a social worker. And for me, I see it as an opportunity to blend two things, which is my faith in God and basically the social aspect of engaging individuals within society. So when I think in terms of me being a parent, I think first of God and what He has given on to me in terms of blessing me with children and the skill set that I've gained through social work to be able to train up those children that He has blessed me with.
So you are a social worker, ma'am?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Can you tell us how you balance the needs of your family, your work demands, and what does a typical day look like for you as a social worker?
Waking up early for the morning for sure, and thank God for strength for the new day, because both the social work and also raising children can be both very demanding. So it is relying on His strength to actually guide me through the day and know whatever I will meet in this day is in that strength that He's given unto me. It means getting the persons up to get through the door. And in some cases, work might even start before I actually raise up the children, before they leave home, actually, because of the position I hold. And in some cases, emergencies can come in at any point in time, whether day or night. The other aspect about it is talking to the children and helping them to understand, okay, this is the field I am in, and at points in time, I would not be able to be there constantly for them, and in allowing them to know what my job entails as well. And then in other cases, it may be where it is I need to stay, but at this point in time, I need to focus on an activity where the children are concerned and not do or given to what may be the first nature, which may be the social work at a particular point in time. So it may mean where it is that, like, after school, going to certain activities with the children, and in that block of time, purposely engaging whatever is happening with the children, even if I have to do paperwork after that fact. But it is to try to balance it that the children don't feel left out at any point in time either.
And Kerry Ann, you are a social worker too.
If I could jump in as well. Yes, please. I've been a social worker for close to 20 years now. It's crazy whenever I say that out loud, because I jumped into this profession from very, very young. And very much like Kim, for me, it has been a great opportunity to marry my faith with my desire to really be a part of God's hands and feet in the earth and just meet people where they're at and provide hope and help to people who need it in a very meaningful and tangible way. And so I've only recently become a mother. I'm young in this game when it comes to motherhood, even though I feel like because I work primarily with young people, I feel like I've been mothering for a long time because I work with vulnerable and at-risk youth from as young as age 8 all the way up to, you know, 18, 19, a little bit older young adults as well. But in terms of becoming a biological mother, I have a toddler. She turned 3 back in February, 3 going on 33. And it has been an interesting journey now of having to balance all that is required to be there for her in this very engaging stage of her development, and still, you know, still be what I need to be as a social worker. It's an interesting journey of kind of figuring it out, and I'm definitely still figuring it out. And one of the things that I've had to really work through has been like sometimes that guilt that I can get. I don't know if my colleagues share this, but that guilt that sometimes I feel, because when I work with my clients, I go all out. I give my all. And sometimes that means that when I get home, I am tapped out. I am drained emotionally, physically, and then I still have to be there for my daughter and my husband. So I'm trying to work on prioritizing self-care and family time and being a lot more intentional and thoughtful in how I give of myself to my clients, but understanding that my family is almost like my most important client right now that I need to serve and be there for. So that's been my journey in terms of balancing work life.
Sounds like you have a busy, normal work day, Carrie-Anne.
Oh, busy is an understatement. Oh my gosh.
Definitely. One can add to even Carrie's thought. My daughters are into athletics, into sports, and with playing for Barbados. So imagine where it is that you have toddlers, yes, but then you transition and you have the adolescents, teenagers doing CXC, and you're balancing that as well in terms of helping them to keep up with their schoolwork and handing in those assignments on time, as well as transporting to and from the various activities that they're very much engaged in. So there are times where it is whilst they are actually at the activity that I may be in the car, sitting down on my laptop, doing some sort of typing in between there. I found that it's transitioned over period because of my social work, that now some of the same children that play with my daughters kind of engage me in terms of listening to them. So where I might have been planning that I probably would sit in the car and do work, I find then that I become a listening ear now to some of those athletes or that are engaging in sports that may want somebody to talk to. So you end up being that sounding ear at the point in time for them to be able to understand, how do I transition in this sport? How do I transition from home to school and all those different little difficulties? And I found that it actually is the sport. Because now the managers and the coaches then tend to think, okay, look, this actually helps them because now this student has someone else that they can talk to. So it kind of broadens you even more in terms of as you get engaged with other activities outside, but still yet connected to the social work.
Well, social work hat is never taken off, no matter where we are.
Understood. I've confirmed that
always on. We're always ready.
Okay. I've confirmed that both of you guys are mothers. I hope you had a wonderful Mother's Day. And speaking of being a mother and having children, would this be your profession that you may suggest to your own children as they grow up?
Suggest? So, well, let me go back. I think for me, I don't expect... Okay, I would say suggest, yes, because I think it's such a noble profession to be in. I think you will never go wrong with being in this kind of field and being of service to people. But if it's an expectation that I would place on my daughter, no. If she ends up in it, I wouldn't be surprised, just because of the history of service that my family has. I grew up seeing my parents, from my grandmother, actually, back down, my aunts, everyone in some way, shape, or form being a kind of social worker. serving others. I grew up in a home where I would come home and find somebody with bags at the door, and my mom be like, okay, this is so-and-so, they're going to be staying by us for a few weeks to months, you know, they need some help. I've seen my grandmother, you know, help people, give of her last help to coordinate resources and stuff to help people. And my parents are very much the same. So for me, it was more a matter of like nurture and nature. Like I've seen it in terms of how I've been socialized, that nurturing, caring side of my family. But naturally, I am a very caring, empathetic person. And I'm seeing that already being developed in my daughter. Like she is such a thoughtful little 3-year-old. She's very compassionate. She cares deeply about things and people. And so I wouldn't be surprised if she tries, you know, her journey takes her into some kind of field that allows her to also be of service to other people. But I definitely won't place it on her as an expectation.
Well, this is Carrie Ann speaking. We also have Kim. Well, hold on 1 sec, Kim, because we also have Kim Bobwaith and we have Joyanne Joseph. And Joyanne, we haven't heard from you as yet, so happy belated Mother's Day to you also. And tell us what it's like being a social worker in Barbados. If your children, if you're maybe suggested, and I wouldn't say expecting that they become social workers also, and just give us a general idea as to what it's like being a social worker in Barbados.
Well, being a social worker in Barbados, you are exposed to a lot of the social challenges that are out there. You are exposed to a lot of the issues confronting parents, families. I was not always a social worker officially. I'm pretty young compared to Carrie Ann, who's been a social worker 20 years, but I've always engaged in social work through volunteerism. And I would say I ran from it. I started, I stopped, and then I began again. So I guess this is where I am supposed to be. And I enjoy it very, very, very much. I gave 200% to my clients, but I also remember that I have a family, my children. I have adults ranging from adults to a teen, young teen. And, you know, but they are aware of a lot of the issues that are there because based from school and so on, they would share with me and so on. And I would, you know, certain things I will discuss with them. My teen who's at school, because the others are finished, I get a sense that, you know, she has this leaning for it. One day she came and she said, I think I want to be a social worker. I didn't nudge it or anything, but I believe that any and everybody should have some kind of exposure to social work training because it broadens your horizon, it broadens your prospects, and it makes you a better human being, if I must say it.
So would you suggest it to your children, Joyanne? Would you suggest it as a profession?
I would, yes, but I would not impose it on them. Because I believe in that children should be raised with guidance, but to be free thinkers, to be free to choose their profession. And if by witnessing my attitudes, my behaviors, and my profession, that is the way they want to go, of course, I will be behind them 200%. But I do see a lot of that, you know, that caring and concern for persons, especially vulnerable persons.
Fantastic. Well, it is 15 minutes before 4 o'clock. We've just about run out of time, ladies. But before we go, we've heard from Joyanne, we've heard from Kim and Carrie Ann. I'm going to ask you ladies to give your final words as you speak to Barbados about social work, what it's like being a social worker in Barbados. And if you would recommend not only your children, but just speak to Barbados on a whole about social work in Barbados. Anyone can go first.
Social work is of a very noble profession that not only looks empathetically compassionate on individuals, but it looks beyond that particular individual in the situation that they are in and see what are the possibilities for that individual and be able to guide them into the what I may call the like that new hope that allows them to address their own particular situation. And I would encourage anyone to join the whole job of social work, get the knowledge through the University of the West Indies that helps ground you with the foundation, that you'll be able to know exactly what you are working for towards and the people that you can work with any facet of life.
Anything to add, Joyanne or Carrie-Anne?
And I would say as a social worker in Barbados, you have to be prepared sometimes to pull from your pocket, to pour from your cup. You must be prepared if you love the profession, you're passionate about the work, the nature of the job. You have to be prepared to be disappointed sometimes, work without the adequate resources, you know, but do the work, get the work done. But there's the joy of the work in itself. When you can see a person move from point A to point B, man, there's nothing that can compare to that.
Absolutely, because ultimately, I believe that we as social workers are some of the biggest and best change agents that are out there. We ultimately, by empowering people at the very micro, you know, cosm of society, we in essence contribute to widespread, holistic, positive change across the world. And so I think, as my colleague said, this is a very noble profession to get into. It comes with a lot of challenges. It takes more than it gives, but at the end of the day, when you close your eyes, you're going to be so satisfied that you have really played a meaningful contribution to helping someone be the best that they can be. So yeah, definitely get into this if you are so, you know, inspired to.
Carrie-Anne Hurley, Kim Bob Waith, and Joyanne Joseph. Those were the lovely ladies, social workers, joining us today. And the preceding 15 minutes was brought to you in association with the Barbados Association of Professional Social.